I just want to present a few things by introductory remarks this morning in terms of the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? So I want to invite your attention to Psalms chapter 12. If you have your Bible with you this morning, Psalms chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12. Let's read verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Reminds of a scripture in Proverbs 30 where it speaks of that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. You think about that with the words of men. The words of men, how impure they are. But God's word is far superior in that it exceeds the deceitfulness of sin. It deceives the it supersedes the mind, the natural mind of man. God's word is elevated above us. Not so far that we don't know about it. Not so far that it's out of reach, because God is pleased and has been pleased to give us the word. And that's a tremendous benefit to you and I. The words of the Lord are pure words. In another place in Psalms, I think it's 68, he says, great was the company that published the words of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? According to the New Testament, the apostle said concerning the Jews that they were given the oracles of God. In other words, they were given the words of God. And how meticulous they were in preserving and keeping every word of God down through the ages. We're not talking about a generation. We're talking about thousands of years. That took a lot of effort. Scribes and lawyers in the past among the Jews were given the task of preserving the works and the words of God. When you think about what God gave us in terms of books that he wrote, there are many books that God wrote, not just one. When we think about the Bible, it contains all the words of God, but there's 66 books. So when you think about God's word, you think about all these books that he's written and gave to the prophets and to the seers of the old days, were preserved by the Jews from generation to generation. Now that is a momentous task, but not without the preserving power of God. Amen. To keep it. Now even in the New Testament, much of the words that were given to the New Testament men primarily were Jews, if not all of them. So they were blessed in a particular way, and I'm thankful for it, because the Gentile ancestry didn't have that kind of credibility. God gave and built the Jewish race these particular skills in order to preserve the words, so that what we have today is basically a result of not only their work, but God's preservation. Notice, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so we have two, I think, very important thoughts here, and that is the preservation of God's word, he's going to keep it, and the inspiration of God's word. It's God breathed. That's very important. There's no man that thought of these words, wrote them down, and said these are God's words. No, God gave them as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the words, and then they wrote them down, and they've been preserved to this very day. Now, how does the Lord himself think about the words of God? How did Jesus? What do we know about what Jesus said regarding the words that were given? Well, we know in one particular instance, when he was tempted by the devil, he confronted the temptations of the devil by answering the devil with, "It is written." Right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's Jesus, the living word. He could have just said anything he wanted, but he left us a great example and said, well, what God said in the past is true to this day. Why? Because every word of God is pure. And the words of God have been preserved. Now, in the New Testament, there's a scripture that relates a little bit more accurately to how Jesus thinks and reflects about the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "Verily I say unto you," or literally, "Truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And basically what Jesus is saying there is you can take the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that's jot, or the smallest little spur or little dot, that's tittle, not one of those shall pass away. And so the Lord is giving us credence to the fact that even the least little particle of the word, the written word, shall not pass away, but shall be preserved. And the question I want to ask you today is, what are you reading? Isn't it amazing that we still have God's word, that it is intact? That the Word of God that we read today is intact. Now that word intact comes from a Latin word, intactius. And it means, literally, untouched. Is the Word of God that we read today untouched by man's devious inventions that try to undermine it? Rewrite it, take away from it, add to it, to change it? Is the Word of God that we read today that which was given to the prophets and to the preachers and to the evangelists of yesterday? Well, we can have the assurance that God Himself said from our text that every Word of God is not only pure and God-breathed, but it's preserved. And not one little element of this word shall ever pass away until it all be fulfilled. Do we value the Word of God in our lives? One of the largest chapters, if not the largest chapter in the whole Bible, was given to the Word, Psalms 119. It's an amazing feat. Every verse in that great chapter reflects the Word of God, even though it doesn't say the Word. It'll say the law, the statutes, the commandments. It'll have a synonym for that same word. How important it is for us today to keep the Word of God, not to change it, not to alter it. And God, through it all, this is the amazing thing, that somehow He can preserve it. He can preserve it. And I'm talking about the literal word here. I'm not talking about, okay, I want a paraphrase of what God said. I was coming up the road today and I asked Tyler, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean, the difference between translation and paraphrase. Remember those scribes? They were given the words of God and they had to pass those same words to the next generation. And one of the interesting things how they did it is every word in the Hebrew, listen, every paragraph, every sentence, at the end of that sentence there was a number. However many letters there were in that line. And that letter had to match their translations. So they couldn't change it. They couldn't change it. So they kept it exactly the same. And so there's a difference between translation and paraphrase. So I said, Tyler, I'm going to say something. And I'm going to paraphrase it. I said something to the effect, "What is the color of the sky?" Or, "The sky is blue. The sky is blue." Now, that's what the written word says. The sky is blue. I'm going to give you my paraphrase. The sky is some other color. Well, what I just did was give you a paraphrase. The actual translation is, "The sky is blue." What I could say, because I'm going to relate to you my meaning of the original, "Well, the sky is some other color." But you see how easy it is to get away from the original translation with a paraphrase. It's very important for you to note the difference between the pure words of God that have been kept intact, untouched, down through the ages, and a paraphrase. Very important to know that difference. I love paraphrases. But I don't justify the use of paraphrases because I'm ignorant of what the translation says or the actual little words of God say. In other words, a lot of us today are very apt to say, well, you know, the Bible is so difficult to understand. I need something rewritten in such a way that it just gives me the meaning. But what we do in that case, it's very dangerous ground in the sense that we move from the literal word, which God says is pure and preserved, and we move it into a category of, well, what it means to me. You know, we're very subjective today. We really are. We don't care what actually is the written word today. We want to know what you think it means or how I feel. And that's why there's so many different changes today and different versions today, because we're really subjective. We don't want the real written, literal, pure word of God. So we got to be very careful. Sometimes we're subjective in the sense, well, you know, what you read is archaic and old-fashioned, out of date. And I want something a little bit more understandable. And every one of those reasons to justify your use of another version is actually based on ignorance. Because you can take the literal word of God and line it up to any paraphrase, and it's just as easy and recognizable to understand. It is amazing. So we can't use that crutch today to steer away from the actual written word of God to a paraphrase because it seems to be the most popular. Always remember this, that a stigma far outweighs dogma. And that's just an unfortunate fact. This stigma of reading something that's archaic, Elizabethan English or something, is a reason sometimes to trash the literal written word of God and to pick up a paraphrase because it's more acceptable today. And let's face it, that's the facts. A stigma is much more powerful than a dogma. It works in almost every case. And you have to fight the prevailing winds of change today and stick to what is right and proper and pure in order to preserve in your own minds what the Bible has to say. Now, in my own personal experience as a Bible student, and you can look on my shelf, that I went through the RSV, I went through the American Standard Version, I went through the NIV. I've got them all written up with notes, just much like this King James here I have before you today. But I always went back to the Authorized Version, because that's where the truth seems to be settled. Because I wanted clarity. Before I did any research on why the King James Bible is the best English translation of the original scriptures today, I did it all on my own. I realized all on my own because I kept going back to the Authorized Version. That's what they call the King James. It's the Authorized Version. So before you just, in a way of stigmatizing the Bible and trashing it for the sake of a more modern, acceptable version, which is very popular, I want you to do a comparison and study one with the other. And as you do, it always seems that you go back to the genuine, literal text. Now that I'm saying this morning, just by way of introduction to you this morning, just by way of introduction of how important the English version that we have today is. Remember, the King James Version is a version. It's not the original scriptures. The original scriptures were written in Hebrew, were written in Aramaic, and were written in Greek. What we have is, in my estimation, the best English version of the original manuscripts. And so, I deduce from that statement is this, that the King James Version is not inspired. What's, in other words, God breathed? What's God breathed is the original scriptures. And that's an important understanding because a lot of people have a wrong understanding of the King James versus the original scriptures. So, the bottom line, every word of God is pure. And every word of God has been preserved. And the question is it fair to say, if we read a perversion of the original, is that evidence of the preservation of God or the invention of men? Very careful. Be very careful. Is that something that is strictly linked to the actual words that were given to the men by inspiration? Does it reflect that exactly? Is it equivalent? Or is it just a paraphrase? I love paraphrases. Sometimes I look at them. I've got 8 or 10 of them in my home. I've got a lot of them, and I enjoy reading them. But I always have in the back of my mind where the buck stops here. This is the authorized version. Now, in today, a lot of times we hear things like, well, it's really the meaning that counts. Or it's what, it's not really the exact words, it's the meaning that counts. But what did Jesus say? He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How important it is to preserve and to keep every pure word of God is very important. It's important to the Lord, and it should be important to us. It should be important to us. May the Lord bless you today and give us a desire to look into these things ourselves. Bless you.